If you've had a moment to look at these source sheets, you will notice that while it starts with Parashas Todos, we also go back to Chayei Sarah, and on the other side we have Parashat Vayishlach. We're really going to spend at least three parashiyot today, possibly more. And in part the reason for that is because I'm going to be away for the next 2 weeks. Let me say it again, I want to hear a real the replacement is going to be Rabbi Macy Gordon. Can't get better than that. It's worth all of you to come. He is very good. He is very good. I have to be out of the country. That's the way it is. You know, your staff of teachers here are those who are so wanted all over the world. So therefore, this year is going to cover a number of the parashiyot. Some of you may recall some parts of this year, but this is something that I have reworked from beginning to end, and I found a lot of very beautiful new things. It has become a great favorite of mine. All right, with that having been said, let's go. Parsha Todot, Ve'ele Todot Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram Halidik Yitzchak. These are the offspring of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak, Yitzchak ben Avram Shoma. Yitzchak was 40 years old, Bekachto et Rivka, Bab Betuel Ha'arami. Yitzchak was 40 years old when he took Rivka, the daughter of Betuel the Aramian, from Padan Aram, Achot Lavan, the sister of Lavan, Ha'arami, the Aramian, lowly Isha unto him for a wife. And by the way, nearly all the information in this passage was already available earlier, except for how old Yitzchak was at the time that he got married. But we already know that Betuel was her father, and we know that Lavan was her brother, and we know that she came from Padan Aram. So there must be a reason why Torah expresses it again so clearly now. So Rashi says, there you have the Rashi number two, Bab Betuel from Padan Aram, called Lavan, the daughter of Betuel from Padan Aram, sister of Lavan, V'chiyadayin lo nechtarav. Has it not yet been written, she Bab Betuel, that she's the daughter of Betuel, and that she is the sister of Lavan, and that she comes from Padan Aram? So why does the Torah repeat all of this information? Ella lahagid shivcha, to tell us of the praise of Rivka. She was the daughter of a wicked person. She was the sister of a wicked person. And the place she came from was a place of absolute evil, wicked people. The low longer mean Asehim, and she did not learn from their evil deeds. That's quite an accomplishment. I would say that it's a little bit more than an accomplishment. That's awesome. And you know what what that has to inspire in us? The question, how did it happen? She's a little girl. She's surrounded by evil. In her house, the whole society is evil. And she's Rivka, the tzaddikus. How did it happen? The question, of course, becomes compounded when we look back in Parsha Chayei Sarah. First of all, they give that description of the awesome chesed. Here are these 10 cattle riders with their 10 greiser camels. And here's this young damsel who's going down to fetch water. And Eliezer says, he asks her, can you give me a little bit of water? And he has yet said, listen, God, if the one that I'm going to ask give me a little bit of water, and she's going to tell me, not only will I give you to drink, but I'm also going to give to your camels. This is the one that you set aside for Yitzchak. This is a zivug min hashamayim, a marriage made in heaven. by Dorota out of the closet, says she went down by Tated Haima, she went down to the spring, she filled up her jug with the water, and she came up, and the servant ran to her and he said, let me have a sip of water from your jug. Batona, she said, stay up, don't you drink, my master. Batonair, and she hurried. Batore Kadayoda, she put down her jug. Batashkein, and she came to drink. Batachalashkoto, she finished giving him to drink, and she said, Gamligumalecho Ashab, I'm also going to fetch water for your camels. I didn't kill the shtot until they finished drinking. I mean, I don't know, what is it? The camel is called the ship of the desert. Svinat HaMidbar. Think I have a clue how much water a camel can drink? And here is this young girl who's going to fetch water for 10 camels, not one, 10 camels, 10 camels. And here are these big, husky, strong, powerful camel riders who are just standing there and they're twiddling their thumbs while. This young girl is fetching water. There's something a little strange about this. I mean, strange is not so much that the camel riders are standing there, but that she does it. That she does it. Batumaya again says she hurried, and she poured the water into the trough. She ran again to fetch water. And she fetched for all of his camels. And obviously, there has to be an association here. The only association is the one at the beginning of Parashat Vayecha. 99-year-old Avram, 3 dusty Bedouins come to his house the 3rd day after his circumcision. Shalom tegit. And the words you hear are Vayimahir, and he hurried. Velhabokon, Ratzavon, the same words. Hurry, run, hurry. For a bunch of camels. For 3 Bedouins. As we discussed this matter when we were dealing with Avram, there's something exaggerated about Avram Avinu's chesed, and we explained the reason for it. But here, this girl is unusual, exceptional. How did it happen? We're surrounded by all of these people who are takers. Lavan V'Achami is a taker. He is one who tricks, who connives. And she's a giver of such outstanding proportions. Right? Later on in Parashah number 4, where it's underlined, it says, Vayikru l'Rivka, after Eliezer has already told the whole story and they're sort of getting ready to agree to the Shidduch, so they say, wait, let her wait for a number of months or a year. And he says, he's very tough about the Shidduch Eliezer. He says, listen, God has given me great success. This is it. We're not waiting. Let me go. So they said, let's call the girl and ask her. By young Nicola, let's call the girl and inshallah, Pia will ask her. By Yikru Rivka, they called Rivka, by Yomru Elel, and they said to her, Telchi L'Ishazeh, will you go with this man, Vatoma? One word. They said, it's awesome. I'm going to have to find a more awesome word than awesome, but that's what it is. In these 3 letters, this word, Eilech, Klal Yisrael is born. She has to leave everything that's familiar. Avraham Avinu needed God to appear to him and tell him, Lech Lecha, go. This girl, Eilech, one word. What a powerful word this Eilech is. Weil ihr schaffet, das wird die Sintüster, die Sister, wird mein Nektar and her nurse, wird Eder Avron, wird Anosho, the servant of Avron and his men. And they blessed Rivka and they told her, this is a brother that you give to a cow by the hoop, Achutenu, our sister, Atagila, Alfe, Nevova. You should become thousands of myriads, thousands of myriads. The Yigash Zarech Shar Sanov, and your enemy, your children shall inherit the gates of their enemies. But talk of Rivka, Rough Rivka and her girls, they got on the camels and they followed the man. And at the same time, Yitzchak is on his way. Yitzchak is on his way out. And the words underlined by Yitzchak, Asuah Basada, Lishnot Erev, Yitzchak went out. Chazal tells us it means he went out to pray. And he lifted his eyes and he saw, behold, the camels are coming. And of all things, Rivka lifts her eyes as well at the same moment. This is sort of Kesher Ayim, they say in Hebrew. Is it possible that their eyes meet? A Teret Yitzchak, she saw Yitzchak, a Tipol Me'a HaGamal. It really means that she slid off. There was a certain slid off because she was moved by what she saw. But Tomer Le'Evet, she said to the servant, Mi'vod Yishal Azeh, HaHolech Basodah Mikrofenu, who's this man coming to the field? By Tomer Le'Evet, who I don't need, this is my master. And she took the veil and she covered herself. The next pasuk. What a pasuk. Yitzchak brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah. He took Rivka. And she was a wife unto him. And he loved her. And Yitzchak was consoled after the passing of his mother. On the other side, Rashi is going to tell us the meaning of this pasuk. Number 6, we'll go back to number 5 in a moment. Number 6, Ha'ohela Sora Imo, into the tent, Sarah his mother. Vayivieha Ha'ohela, he brought her into the tent. Vahadehi Sora Imo, she's just like his mother Sora. Because Vayivieha Ha'ohela, he brought her to the tent. You know, she said, Shel Sora Imo, the tent of his mother Sora. Doesn't say the tent of his mother Sora. He brought her to the tent. Sora, his mother. Because the Pasuk wants to tell us that when he brought her into the tent, do you know what? Of all the amazing things, she is his mother Sora. In what respect is she his mother Sora? So Rashi says, she calls mom, she's Sora Kayanis. As long as Sora was alive, Hoyoner Jaluk, a lamp would light continuously, may Erev Shabbos, the Erev Shabbos, the candles lasted from one Erev Shabbos to the next. Ubracha Mitsuya Biiso, there was blessing in the dough, a little bit of dough lasted for a long time. Vo'amam Koshur Al Ha'ohel, and there was a cloud of glory above the tent of the Sora. And when Sora died, all these three stopped. And when he brings Rivka into the tent, there's the cloud of glory there. The candles remain lit a whole week, and there's blessing in the dark. Ukeshemesa, Rashi says, but when Sora died, Pasku, they stopped. Ukeshebos, Rivka, and Rivka came Chazru, it all returned. Let's go back for a moment to the number 5. Number five, that Rashi is after Rivka fetches all of the water and gives his camels to drink, and all of this takes place, and he gives her the rings and the bracelets, so it says that she ran to tell Lebeit Imo, she went to her mother's house. Rashi says, Derech HaMoshim Haitalni Hotlan Bayit. It was common practice that the women would have their own house. Lenshein Bo Lemelachtom, to sit there while they do the work. Ve'en Habat Magedet Elo Le'ima. A daughter goes and tells a mother. Certainly something like this to tell a mother. All right. Okay, so she went and told her mother. Obviously, what was bothering Rashi was that you're not going to tell your father. You're not going to tell your father. We assume, obviously, he finds out later. But, all right. I mentioned this Rashi only because I believe that there may be a great deal more in this Rashi that meets the eye. Just as we have been saying for many, many years, there's a great deal more in every Rashi than meets the eye at first glance. All right? So now she is his mother, Sarah. We've just now compounded the question. How did this girl become such a great Balas Chesed, and now it's more than Balas Chesed, she's Tzadekis. And where does she come from? That was last week's Seder. This week's Seder, we know where she comes from. A Tata Arvasha, a brother of Arvasha, a place, a society, a home, a city, everything. And this gem, how? How does it happen? How does it happen? So now we have to take you to Parsha Vayishlach. In Parsha Vayishlach, Yaakov Avinu returns to Eretz Yisrael. There's the great confrontation between him and Esau, who's coming toward him with 400 men armed to the teeth. There's the nocturnal struggle between Yaakov and the Malach of Esau, and Yaakov is the one who emerges ascendant and victorious. And then after that, they finally come to the city of Shechem, and he favors the city, he builds something, he buys a field in Shechem, a place for his family to live. And then, of course, begins the tragedy of Dina, the daughter of Yaakov. After all of that is over, it says that they journey further into Eretz Yisrael, and the fear of God was upon all. Nobody was able to stand up to Yaakov and his children. And he came to Beit El, by even shot his bear here, I'm reading number 7, and he built a mizbeach there, and he called the mizbeach El Beit El. That's where God appeared to him before when he fled from his brother. That's next week's Seder. So we have now Chai Sarah, told us, and Vayetze. Vayetze, when he has the dream at the beginning of Parsha Vayetze, where he sees that ladder going up to heaven, and there are angels of God coming up and down the ladder, that was at Beit El, and now it's more than 20 years later, he comes back to Beit El and he builds an altar to God, the place where God had appeared to him. Thomas Dvorah Mineket Rivka. Dvorah, the nurse of Rivka, died. Vatikove Mitachat LeBeit El, and she was buried. She was buried under, at the bottom of the mountain, below Beit El, under the terebinth tree, by Yikro Shmo, and he called the name of the place Alon Pachut. All of a sudden, two things happen over here. We had heard about the Meneket, about the nurse. We heard about her as the one that Rivka takes with her when she leaves the house of Laban and Bezalel. And then we find out that she died. And it seems that there was a real evil. It was a source of great pain that she had died. Before I take a look at the Rashi, we have to go just a few psukim further. Vayeda Elokim et Yaakov od, God appeared to Yaakov again, bevo in the Padan Aram, when he came from Padan Aram, and he blessed him. Vayom Elo Elokim, God said to him, Shimcha Yaakov, lo yikare Shimcha od Yaakov, your name will no longer be called Yaakov, kiv yischol yeshmecha. By the way, at the beginning of Pashat Vayishlach, it was the angel at the end of that nocturnal struggle by morning who is the one that says, your name will no longer be Yaakov, it's going to be Yisrael. And now that is confirmed. That's confirmed by God. And God called him Yisrael. By Yom Kim, God said to my Neo, Shaddai, pray, revei, go, you call, go, you mecha, umalacha mecha, watzecha. Yet say, who gives me the great bracha, you should be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a community of nations will come from you. Kings will come from you. Here is the promise. God says, the land that I have given to Avram and Yitzchak, to you I will give, and to your children, acharecha, attain et haaretz, and to your children after you I will give the land. Fatama Devora, the Rashi. My Inyan Devora, the great Yaakov. Rashi says, what's the Torah doing in the house of Yaakov? Yaakov had been now 20 years in Padan Aram. He's on his way back. All these years, Dvorah has been with Rivka wherever they were living, Be'er Sheva or Hebron. They divided their time between Be'er Sheva and Hebron. What's she doing out in the traveling with Yaakov? Mine and Dvorah with Yaakov. What is Dvorah doing in the house of Yaakov? Why is Dvorah in Beit there with Jacob's household? Hello? The fish on the for Yaakov. Rashi says, because Rivka, when she sent Yaakov to Padan Aram, she told him, go there and I will send for you. I will send for you. V'shalachti l'kachticha v'shar, I will send and I will bring you from there. Shocha devora etzlov, so she sent devora to him, l'padan Aram, l'tzei v'shar, in other words, the messenger that she sends him to tell him it's time to leave. She sends Devorah. Umesa Baderech, and then she dies on the way as they're on their way back from Padan Aram. Devorah dies. Midivrei Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan Lamadatiha. I learned this from Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. Rivka had told Yaakov, I'm going to send somebody for you. She sent Devorah the Meneket, and now she's on the way back, and she never makes it back to her. To her mistress, to Rivka. Tachat Ha'alon, mitachat the Beit El Ha'ir, the city Beit El was on a mountain, and she was buried beragli of her at the foot of the mountain. Tachat Ha'alon, below the Alon, Targum says, at the bottom of the plain. There was a plain above, there was the incline of the mountain, the burial took place below, and that plain is called Alon. Va'agvada. The Agada says, one was the place called Alon Bahut, the Alon, the plain of crying. Nidbaser Sham Jacob was informed then, the able Shani, about a second cause of mourning. When he's there at the time that Devorah dies, news reaches him that his mother Rivka had passed away. He was told that his mother died. The Elon was shown in Greek. Elon means another. There were two sources. There were two reasons for mourning. Devorah died in Rivka. There is a Ramban, and I have to say that with a certain degree of fear and trepidation, I will tell you the Ramban, not the whole Ramban, what is necessary for us. We don't have it on the sheet. I would have put this on the sheet, you understand, you get all shook up, you know, how are we ever going to learn through this? You know, I don't want to shake you up. But Ramban says the following. It says, Batomos Devora, the pasuk of Batomos Devora, the Ramban is concerned that pasuk seems to be inserted at a place where it doesn't belong. What was the pasuk before? The pasuk before says that he built him as Beach. He built an altar in Beit El, the place where God appeared to him when he fled from before his brother. God is appearing to him now, right? It's in the middle of a vision, and then the pasuk after the death of Deborah says that God appeared to him again when he came from Paran Aram. And he tells him now the name is going to be Yisrael, the Lord of Yaakov, and he gets the great blessings of Prey, Revei, Goy, Ukahal, Goy, Minech. And I will give thee the land to you. What's that pasuk? The pasuk seems to interrupt. It's an interruption in between or in the middle of this vision. God is appearing to him, and in the middle of he's building him as Beach. God is talking to him. Pasuk throws in that God appeared, that Devorah died. Like it's a jarring note in the middle of a vision. God is appearing to him. So let's hear the whole story. Tell us the whole story. Don't interrupt it. And tell us that Devorah died. So the Ramban therefore says the Ramban says the following. He brings what Rashi says that Alon Bakut comes to tell us that there was another death that took place at the time, and that's why the place was called Alon Bakut. And there are two sentences in the Ramban that I will have difficulty with. One of them is the Ramban says, Ki ein b'chi va'anoko al ha-meinekes ha-zekeno. There is no crying, and there's no mourning for an old nurse, a meneged hazakena, that the name of the place should be called for her. So therefore, the Ramban says, obviously, he had to be mourning for somebody else. And obviously, the somebody else that he was mourning for was for his mother. Aho Yaakov Bochav Abel al Imo Atzadeket. He, Yaakov, was crying and he was mourning for his mother, the righteous person, Asher Ahivatu, who he loved and she loved. And especially since, do you know how painful it was? Yaakov has been looking forward for 20 years to see his mother, and on the way, he learns that she has died. He will never see her again. That's very painful. Very painful. The Ramban says that's what he was crying about. He also brings the Chazal that says asks the question, why doesn't it simply say in the Torah, and Rivka died? And Rivka died! What's being concealed here? So Chazal say that there was a reason for concealment. Because Yitzchak was homebound. Yaakov was not home. There's only one person to represent the family at this Levaya. Esau. Shein v'dus ois kikin. This is really going to be a great tribute for the mother Rivka, that the one who is going to eulogize her is Esau, most probably with his sword with his pistol, with his bow and arrow. Esau Kavash. So Chazal said, you know what they did? When she died, when Rivka died, they took her out at night and they buried her under the cover of night. It was a quick, quiet levaya, so that it should not be a levaya in the presence of the only member of the family who could be there, which was Esau. Then the Ramban deals with Devorah. What is Devorah doing here? And he has problems with Rashi. And there's serious problems. Rashi says that since Rivka had said, I will send and call you from there, so she sent. She sent Devorah to ask him to come home. What do you want from an old Meineket? You know who you send? You send a young man, Pony Express, to go all the way to Tadaravam, Ice Merchant, an alter fry for what? She was already very, very elderly. Go much of her eyes that she has to go to Tadaravam and she has to tell the uncle to kill her hein. The mother wants your heart. Doesn't make sense, the Ramban says. He should have sent, she should have sent, Rivka should have sent somebody. Of substance, somebody who can do this job. Why? Why her? Why her? So therefore he has difficulty understanding what Rashi is saying. And so therefore he even wants to say that maybe this is not the same Meineket, the one that we learned in Pasha, Chaye Sada, that Rivka left with her Meineket. That was a different Meineket. I don't know. And here he was bringing a Meineket with them, another one that they were bringing from Paragam. Rashi goes, the Ramban goes for all sorts of things, because people had many, many kof. You know, he had 11 children. He had 11 children with him. So he was bringing somebody else. And then again, the last line in the Ramban is, Ki rachoku, it's too far out to believe, Shetia hazekena, that this old one should be the shliach that his mother should send to Yaakov to come home. And the Ramban has difficulty accepting the words of Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. So some years ago, I had said I found Moshe Tzvineria, the Tzadik Levracha, comes up with a theory, and his theory is one that I want to expand it beyond what he had said. We have a lot of questions. We have a lot of questions. The most important question of all, and it's really one question, and that question was broken down into A, B, C, D. How did Rivka become the great Tzadik? How is she the big Balas Chesed? How is she the daughter of Akasha, the brother of Akasha, in a place of Kishus, and she remains the great Tzadikus? So Rav Meir said the following. There had been a time in Padan Aram where two great people, Avram and Sarah, began their great journey through history. They were the souls that they made in Haran. They were the souls that they made in Haran. One of those souls was a Meineges in the house of the Suel and Lavan called Devorah. The fact is, she's either a fifth column or she is planted there by the Rabbeinu Shlomo, who has a sense of humor. It's a sense of humor that simply reverberates across the ages. She had a Rebbe. Rivka had a Rebbe. Her Rebbe was Devorah. She, when she leaves the house of Lavan and Besuel, she takes her Rebbe with her. She's not leaving that Rebbe. Who is this Devorah? Devorah was a tiny dam about an arm in Stava. Where do you think Rivka gets the idea of chesed and kindness to the great extent that she expressed and lived in her own life? Dvorah is being educated by Avraham and Sarah. And who is that great Rebbe? That great Rebbe is Dvorah. Avraham came to Eretz Yisrael with HaNefesh Asher Osa B'Choron, the souls that he had made in Choron. For whatever reason, Rav Neri writes here, not all of them left, some of them had difficulties, couldn't leave their families behind. No, I hold that here it was an act of Ashkacha. One great student of Avraham and Sarah remains behind. Because that great student, that Dvorah, she's going to raise Klal Yisrael. She is one of the most powerful and significant links in the chain of the development of Klal Yisrael. They're going to need a shidduch for Yitzchak. For Yitzchak, they're going to need a shidduch. Who are you going to get it from? From the Canaan? Where is she going to come from? A girl for Yitzchak. The Yitzchak who was the Ola Tamim of the Akedah. You know what you need? You need to create a girl of that sort. So there is somebody sitting silently in the kitchen. She's knitting. I don't know. She's peeling potatoes. But she is telling Rivka all that she learned in the house of Avraham and Sarah. The great heritage of Avraham the Sarah is being transmitted quietly to this Rivka under the very eyes of these Rishai. They don't even know what's happening in the house. They're totally unaware. Why do you think when she hears from Eliezer that the mission that he has come, she runs to her mother's house? So Rashi said she ran to her mother's house because the women used to have a house of their own. I say she wasn't really running to her mother. Sitting over there in the corner is a woman by the name of Dvorah. She wants Dvorah to hear. Let my imagination run away with me. Dvorah most probably told her, if Rivka ever asked her, listen, Dvorah, you're making a tzaddikus out of me. Who am I ever going to be able to marry? There isn't a soul here in Padan Aram. And Dvorah must have told her, marriages are made in heaven. There is a shidduch out there waiting for you. A tzaddik and a holy one. And Rivka's worried, and she keeps telling her that. And then all of a sudden, it happened. Dvorah's been telling me all this time that the shidduch is going to come looking for me. She runs to the house of her mother, tells her mother, but wants Dvorah to hear. The message is to Dvorah. Dvorah, you are right on. Exactly what you said is what's happening before our very eyes now. Is there any question now? Why? When she is offered a shidduch, the son of Avraham, this little Rivka has heard about Avraham and Sarah for years from Rivka, and now the son of Avraham is going to be her zivug. She's asked, will you go with this man? One word, Eilech. I can go, she's been waiting for this. They don't know. This is a conversation that's really taking place between Rivka and the Meinekes. She knows exactly what's going on. She knows that this is what I've been waiting for. She knows that this means to me that I'm now going to become part of the house of Avram, the Avram and Sarah that created her ready, Devorah. So we now want the questions, a lot of the questions that we began with have already dissipated completely. Yes, she comes from a father, she has a father of Russia, she has a brother of Russia. The place is all the shining. But there's one significant person there. The Hashgacha, God's divine providence, has left a woman called Devorah there. But now we have the bigger problem. Devorah is a very old woman. Why is Devorah, as Rashi says in the name of the Moshe Adashim, why is Devorah the one that is sent in order to tell Yaakov, come home? Mm-hmm. So Rav Neria writes that Rivka knew that there's trickery and connivory and evil in her house, and that it's not going to be easy for Yaakov to extricate himself from the house of Lavan. It's going to be very difficult. By the way, we see how difficult it was. Every time he wanted to leave, and even when he leaves only because his father-in-law's not home, so he flees. And his father-in-law pursues him across the mountains of Mesopotamia. And the only reason why he causes him no harm, because God has to intervene and appear to Lavan and tell him, don't touch a hair on Yaakov Avinu's head. Rivka knows how difficult it is. But Rivka also knows that there's one person who has been able to negotiate the house of Lavan and Bethuel and succeed. There's one wise old woman that carries a whole universe in her mind. She knows Devorah is the one that's going to be able to get Yaakov out of the house of Lavan. Mary says that's why she sends Devorah. Devorah will already maneuver. See here, here's the point at which I pick up. I want to say something else, and it's based on an idea that's expressed by Rav Soloveitchik Dehov in his great Hesped on Rav Chaim Heller, who was his Rebbe. So he develops the idea that we say in davening, "Al tzadikim v'al chasidim v'al ziknei sheiris pleitas beis sofrehem," the remnants of the house of the scribes. The Lord wants to know what are the remnants of the houses of the scribes. So he says, in every generation, there is a figure who towers above the generation. And he becomes the bridge. When you take a look at this man, he reminds you of Gedolei Yisrael of a previous generation. He's a colossus who brings together generations. I always say there was a little old Jew in West Hempstead who had lived in the house of Rav Meir Simcha, the Or Sameach, for a year and a half. I saw him every Shabbos I saw him, and he sat not far from me. I felt connected to Rav Meir Simcha. This old Jew was the one who brought together great generations. And I think that in 1930, in the train station in Warsaw, he saw the Chofetz Chaim. So when I saw this Jew every Shabbos, in shul, and I called him the old man because my father, Olah Shalom, was living with me then, and my father was more than 10 years older than him, and he used to tell me, you know, he likes the old man. You know, that was the old man. There are people who take all sorts of generations together. The Rambam says it in his introduction to his great work, the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam says that there were a number of people like that. Serach Bas Osher, was alive in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. She was able to tell Moshe Rabbeinu what happened in the house of Yaakov. Do you understand? A living witness. It's 300 years, 200, 300, 400 years later, and she's able to tell not only Yaakov, further generations. The Moral also says in the Talmud, brings it about Achia Shiloni. Achia Shiloni lived from the time of Moshe, past the time of Shlomo, hundreds of years. And Achia Shiloni was a living witness of all that had taken place in all of his years. He was the great bridge, the great major link that held together all of generations. So I say the following. I believe that there was a completely different mission that Rivka sent Devorah. My theory is the following. Rivka may have felt that either her time is coming. She certainly knew that Devorah, who was much older, and there's something that's troubling her. She has Enoch Luch that she's never seen, and she will never see them. She dies before they ever arrive at her home. She'll never see Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, the angel. Never see them. But it's more than that. When they arrive here, Avraham and Sarah are no longer alive. Yitzhak is already elderly and confined. There's only one person living in the whole world who can describe to these children firsthand what Avraham and Sarah were. There's one person on the face of this earth who can describe the great revolution that Avraham Avinu created. The earthquake turned the world over until today. One person is still alive that can tell exactly what happened in Paran Aram and in Haran and all of the difficulties that Avraham suffered from his prayer, the fact that he was persecuted, thrown into the Kitchen Aish, and he emerges. Only one person. That one person is Devorah. Do you know what she wants? She wants that her children, her grandchildren, should be exposed to this saintly woman who's the only one left on the face of this earth that can describe to them in detail what the Elder Zaydan, the Elder Bubba war, what Avraham and Sarah war, not only for them, but what they did for the whole world. Only one person, and time is running out. She's sending Devorah with a message that, as we will see, is ultimately going to cement Klal Yisrael, create Klal Yisrael. That outer divided is a Kena, the Menekes Kena. To Devorah's consternation, and here I theorize further, she was not thrilled about leaving Eretz Yisrael and going back to Paran Aram. Health to the Beishalelam. She is on her way out. And there in Shechem, who does she meet up with? Yaakov and the family are already on their way home. And she joins them in Shechem. She joins them. Shechem, Beit El, she joins them. Chances are that she must have been there approximately a half a year. And here my imagination, of course. Oh, this is where the imagination goes to work. She starts telling them about Avraham and Sarah. These little Yingalech are sitting over there. They're sitting over there like, at least the father Yaakov still saw Zayda Avraham. Did he see? No, he didn't see Baba Sarah. Yaakov himself? No? No, Sarah was a... Yes, she had died. Even Yaakov Avinu tell me about the Bulbasaur. And I can imagine over there a face, this woman says, Devorah, tell me the story of the Kitchener Age again. I gotta hear that story, that was great. Tell me, how did people react? When the Zayd Avraham comes walking out unscathed and unharmed, she spends a half a year in which she transmits the whole story of the greatest spiritual revolution the world ever experienced. She's the last eyewitness. The last eyewitness. By the way, there's something very important that we gain from this story of Devorah. I always wondered, the first chapter of Hilchos Avodah Zarah in the Rambam, he describes all of Avraham Avinu's youth. It's not written in Torah. Where did the Rambam get it from? Where do we have all of these medrashim that tell us everything about Avraham? It's not written in Torah. They made it up. Oh, no, they didn't make it up. I believe that it became part of the Agada of Klaus, or by virtue of the fact that for a number of months, this Devorah is telling the story, and what Devorah tells to the children, this is Torah, and it becomes part of Torah. Now we're talking about a Devorah that's not simply being sent in order to extricate Yaakov, get him out of the house of Laban. That's what it's all about. She becomes the one who forms and forges Klal Yisrael. Because you know what happens now? Because of her, there are four generations that see one another. For Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, all of those children, they now have a picture of Avraham and Sarah before their very eyes. You know what has taken place now? There are now not only three, but four generations that know each other. This is an accomplishment of such greatness. This Devorah is the one that forms the very essence of a Jewish people. Because now all of the children of Yaakov are able to see before their very eyes Avraham and Sarah and Yitzchak and Rivka. They see it all. It's no longer merely hearsay. There's a living witness that is telling them the story. I therefore want to answer the Ramban's question. The Ramban's question was, why is this story of the death of the Meneket, Devorah, Meneket Rivka, why does this interrupt God's vision? He's appearing to Yaakov. Yaakov builds him his bath. God appears to him. In comes this jarring pasuk in the middle. Vatomos Devorah Meneket Rivka, and she was buried there. And they cried and they cried. So first of all, they're not crying over some alter Meneket Zekena. They are crying over a woman who has created the Masorah, the tradition of Klal Yisrael. It's a whole different story. This is not just an old woman who was sent to do some kind of a menial task to tell Yaakov, Kenahayim, back when he came home. She's creating Klal Yisrael. She's the one that has brought to all of these children the greatness of our common star. It's also what she has done for them. The pasuk comes here to tell us that she died then, which means in what she did, she accomplished the task for which she was sent by Rivka. And you know what we now have? We have the children of Yaakov who are ready to build Klal Yisrael. Therefore, God tells him, now your name will be Israel and not Yaakov, because Klal Yisrael has been built now. Who built it? Devorah. Devorah is the one who has brought all of the generations together. All of the generations together. Devorah is the Seraph Matoshet. She is the Achia Shimoni, except much, much more than that. Not only is she the Colossus who bridges the generations from Avraham and Sarah to Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, by virtue of what she has done, she has made the bond that will be never-ending. They're not crying over some Al-Dezukaina over there. Oh, they're crying for Devorah, that Meineges. We understand now why Rivka would not leave her Meineges behind. You don't leave the Rebbe behind. You don't leave a woman as precious as that. And most probably that Devorah was waiting for the moment that she too could join Avraham and Sarah and Aliyah. She wanted to go all those years, but she knew that she had a mission. She had to remain there in order to create that zivug for Yitzchak. Where would Rivka find a zivug? Where would Yitzchak find a zivug? But there was the revenge who takes care of his. Takes care of his. He leaves behind his Devorah, who was the great Talmid of Roman Sarah. Oh, does she do a job? Not only does she create the shidduch for Yitzchak, she's now going to take Yitzchak and Rivka's grandchildren, and she's going to make them aware of the great heritage to which they are connected. She does the job, and as soon as this is done, and she dies, and there is great mourning for her because they realize the extent to which her testimony to the children has now created a climate storm. Therefore God now says, that's it. Now you're going to be Goy, Ukahal, Amim, Plein, Urevei, Lechol, Zarachonatati, Ataris. You are now all together. And then I have this one other feeling. If I've let my imagination fly, who dies at the same time, Rashi says, Rivka. And there it is, you know who's meeting in heaven? Rivka and Devorah. But wait a minute, we're not over. And Devorah, soon as Rivka sees Devorah, she says, Devorah, did you get to them while you were alive? So she says, this guy got to them. Did you tell them everything? I told them everything. What lovely children they are. What lovely children. Snow was a little cold one night. I put a sweater on. Oh, that's good. Then they joined. You know who dies soon after? Rachel dies. And Rachel joins them all. And Rachel tells them about another Yingala that was born. The first Sakura, Binyamin. And with that, we have brought together all the generations. Devorah is not a simple zakena. Devorah is the heart, and the pillar of Klal Yisrael. Small wonder, there's a medrash that says that there was another woman afterwards who took the name Devorah because she knew the significance of that previous Devorah. Dvorah HaNeviyah, Dvorah the Shofetes, she was in tradition of that Dvorah. That's it.